Unitarian Universalism is not a Christian faith, but our Christian roots are deep, and this time of year they show. Jesus, for Unitarian Universalists, is not God incarnate. He is not the second person of the Trinity. We are Unitarians, not Trinitarians, because historically, Unitarians have held that Jesus is a human being, special, perhaps, in the way that many great men and women have been special, but not special in the sense that he is fundamentally unlike the rest of us, as Christians believe. For Unitarians, Jesus is like us, a human being. As a human being, Jesus shows what is possible in the lives of other human beings. We could be like him. Not magically. We don't believe Jesus is going to perform some supernatural trick that will save us from our human imperfections. But we could be like him naturally because his nature is the same as ours. Jesus is what a human could be, including us. This wise, this generous, this loving, this compassionate, this committed to the good path, this courageous, and so on. In the language that I like to use, Jesus shows us that human beings are good enough, smart enough, and strong enough to create a kingdom of God for ourselves and for each other. We can save ourselves. Jesus shows us that it's possible for human beings to be that good and smart and strong because he was, and he was human, so we could too. And Jesus shows us how to do it by spending his life teaching. He gives us the ethical principles, the guidelines, the new perspective of what human society could be, loving, just, focused attention on those who are most needful, inclusive and expansive, respectful of the principles behind inherited traditions, but willing to break with those traditions when their current forms pervert their original intention. You have to be a great human being to see so clearly as Jesus did, to speak so artfully, to act so boldly, to inspire so broadly, but you don't have to be a god. Unitarians lift up Jesus as one of the best human role models and teachers we have had, but we refuse to lift him to the height where he is raised above human reaching, to the point where he loses his ability to inspire our own power. Jesus as God incarnate lets us off the hook by encouraging dependency on a supernatural power that I don't believe exists. Jesus as human being inspires us to recognize our own power. So Christmas then becomes a tricky holiday in a Unitarian Universalist church. Jesus is important here, but not in any of the ways that the Christmas holiday usually celebrates. Jesus is a baby in the Christmas story. He isn't a role model for how we should live our lives, not yet. He hasn't said or done anything that we can learn from, not yet. The gospel story gives us a story of supernatural beginnings to emphasize Jesus' special nature, born of a virgin, angel messengers, a star in the sky, a birthplace that recognizes Jesus as both a humble child of the poor and also a king recognized by fellow royalty come from afar. The Christmas story that Unitarians need for our Christless Christology is the birth story of all of us, human mother, human father, the natural sense of wonder, exhaustion, and relief that accompanies every birth, and then, after a chaotic afternoon of birthing, a silent night. For Unitarians, Christmas is a human birthday, the birthday of one who will be great, but for today, simply that he was born. It's Jesus' birthday. But now, 2,000 years later, the birthday celebration can't help but be more than the story of the birth, because we can't help but know the rest of the story. We aren't only in the stable in Bethlehem. We are all at once, we see all at once the baptism in the Jordan and recruiting followers on the Sea of Galilee and preaching from the side of a mountain and turning water into wine at the wedding at Cana and the healings and the defense of the outcasts and the scolding of the powerful, the gathering supporters, the conspiring enemies, the entrance to Jerusalem on the back of a donkey with palm fronds on the road like a king, the garden, the betrayal, the trial, the death. All of that is wrapped up, too, in one Christmas package. And for Unitarian Universalists, especially for us for whom the Christmas story isn't really about the mature Jesus whom we revere, today really needs to be a day to look at the rest of the story, not just the birth in the stable, not just the tinsel ribbon and the wreath and the merry bells, as Edna St. Vincent Millay says. Not a tired gospel lesson that we can ignore again, but a real wrestling with the whole of the story. Not just the hopeful story of a Savior born to us on this dark day, but our reckoning with the human man who was born and what that man through word and deed taught us. Christmas this year at this church comes to us in the midst of a discussion that we've been having in worship for the last few weeks about leadership. Leadership is one of the five developmental tasks that the Unitarian Universalist Association recommends that congregations focus on during an interim period between one settled minister and the next, as we are in now. Oftentimes, leadership will become stressed when a minister departs. New demands are made on leaders. Perhaps issues are thrust on them they hadn't expected when they signed up. A particular leadership structure will form around a previous minister, their preferences and their style, their particular interests and talents. And then in the interim, space might open up to reassess that leadership structure. What areas of leadership ceded to the previous minister should the laity take back now? In what ways did the congregation become dependent on particular skills of a particular minister, and maybe we need to work on strengthening our own competencies again? Folks who had been in leadership positions for several years might consider whether they want to continue, and folks who had not previously been leaders might see the coming change as an opportunity to step up. So we've been looking for the last several weeks at some of the issues of leadership in a church, the character required of a successful leader, the challenges that leaders face. Today, then, to bring this sermon series to a close and also to bring in some Christmas time observations about Jesus as a role model and a teacher, let's consider Jesus's work as a leader. How did he lead? What can we learn? Well, Jesus' leadership began when he first inspired others to follow him and begin to build a community around him. Here's how Jesus gathers his first disciples, according to the Gospel of Mark. And you should know, by the way, that the Gospel of Mark doesn't include any Christmas story of Jesus born in a manger. Mark begins with John the Baptist. And then, still in the first chapter of Mark, Jesus appears already as a grown man. Here's how it goes. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. In the Gospel of Luke, when Luke tells that same story, Jesus also performs a miracle. The fishing nets had been empty all day, but when Jesus tells Simon to let down the nets, suddenly they are so full of fish that it takes all the strength of the fishermen to haul them in. There is no miracle like that in the Mark version, but even in the way that Jesus immediately calls out to the disciples, and the disciples instantly answer him, there's a sort of a miracle happening. Something strange is going on. Does the story feel even a little troubling to you? Here are a couple of details in that little story of Jesus calling his first disciples that are important to understanding Jesus as a leader. First, Jesus thinks the world is about to end. The first words out of Jesus' mouth in Mark, the earliest of the Gospels written, has Jesus saying, "The time has come." Jesus believes that the judgment day is imminent. He says in Matthew, shortly before his crucifixion, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." A leader who believes that the world is about to end leads in a very different way than does a leader who believes they are responsible for creating a community that should last from generation to generation far into the future. Second, when Jesus calls his followers, the fishermen at the lake, they leave everything. Mark says that Simon and Andrew left their nets and followed him. Mark says that James and John left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Imagine the father's reaction to that scene. Does that trouble you? Jesus, as leader, requires a complete allegiance to himself alone, cutting all ties with former life. Jesus would say he requires allegiance to his vision of the principles of God, not to his person. But that distinction gets fuzzy when his followers begin to believe that Jesus is, in fact, God in person. Jesus realizes that the radical reordering of society that is about to come might get violent. At least in some passages in the Gospels, that's okay with Jesus. In Matthew, Jesus says, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Then he says, quoting a passage from Micah, "For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be members of his own household." And then he says, "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Jesus' message as a leader is actually a strange one, and it is troubling. The world is about to end. Leave your father and mother and all your attachments to your old life behind. Prepare for revolution. Jesus recruits his followers from the most vulnerable members of society, the poor and the outcast, the weak. On one hand, those are the folks who most need help. On the other hand, those are also the folks least able to resist the influence of a charismatic leader. When Jesus says, "I am the way," he's also saying, "I alone can save you." Let me be a little shocking. There have been other examples in our human history of leaders who use these strategies. Leaders that we don't admire, leaders who have led their followers to tragedy. Last month was the 40th anniversary of the mass suicide in Jonestown in Guyana. Jim Jones gathered his followers from the most vulnerable in society. He performed healings during worship to demonstrate his special powers. He told his followers that the U.S. government was a threat to them. He physically removed his followers to a jungle in South America, isolated from friends and family members. He told them to prepare for violent conflict. He compared himself to Jesus and encouraged his followers to do the same. 900 people died. The world is about to end. There's a big, scary threat out there. You need my protection. Trump said in his speech accepting the Republican nomination 2 years ago, "Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it." Christmas is a tricky holiday for Unitarian Universalists. Perhaps I've made it this year a little trickier than it usually is. But let me help you out by quoting a few other things that I also said at the beginning of this service that maybe didn't sound so controversial at the time. I said, Jesus for Unitarian Universalists is not God incarnate. For Unitarians, Jesus is like us, a human being. As a human being, Jesus shows what is possible in the lives of other human beings. His nature is the same as ours. Can we agree then that for all that we admire in Jesus, that Jesus as a human being can also serve as a warning to our human natures? Can we agree then that, like all other human beings, Jesus need not be perfect in all things in order to be great in some things? Jesus, I believe, was a great man, admirable, remarkable, a rare kind of spiritual and political genius like we have seldom seen in human history. I'm not sure I would have liked to hang out with him or be one of his followers, but certainly a teacher to learn from and in many things a role model to emulate, but not in all things. Jesus as a leader responded to a particular context that turned out to be wrong. The world was not about to end. Judgment Day did not arrive while some of his followers were still alive and still has not arrived 2,000 years later. Judgment Day is a religious myth that I don't believe in, and thus I'm careful as I read the teachings of Jesus, profound and challenging and often true as they are, that what may be wise and healthy in one circumstance might be dangerous in another. The most important and most Unitarian warning in Jesus' example as a leader is that Unitarians insist on our own power, and we see that healthy communities find their ways to decisions through group discussions and dissent. We do not give our powers to others. We do not depend on outside saviors. We elect leaders democratically. We hold them accountable. We do not follow blindly the charismatic person, but we follow our principles, and we use our reason, and we create our future communally. To quote myself again from earlier, Jesus shows us that human beings are good enough, smart enough, and strong enough to create a kingdom of God for ourselves and for each other. We can save ourselves. He gives us the ethical principles, the guidelines, the new perspective of what human society could be and should be, loving, just, focused attention on those who are most needful, inclusive and expansive, respectful of the principles behind inherited traditions, but willing to break with those traditions when their current forms pervert their original intention. Even when those inherited traditions come from Jesus himself, we should be willing to question, to probe, to consider. Unitarians lift up Jesus as one of the best human role models and teachers we have had, but we refuse to lift him to the height where he is raised above human reaching, to the point where he loses his ability to inspire our own power. Let me end, as is only fair and is only appropriate as Christmas fast approaches, with some words from Jesus himself. This is from Luke again. This is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Thank you.